Welcome to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast, and I'm your host, Jerry Alexander. This show is all about commercial property investing for the private investor. Whether you're just getting started or scaling up your portfolio, through interviews, tips and lessons learned along the way, we want to give you the inspiration, knowledge and confidence to enjoy this great cash flowing strategy. Hello and welcome back to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. Hope you're having a successful time building your family wealth. Commercial is definitely a great place to be for all sorts of reasons, and the uncertainty that's in the air right now could mean even more opportunity for those with some knowledge. That could be you, by the way, and not just they or the others who apparently know what's going on, the professionals. You can do it too. Anyone who's followed me for the last few years will know CMO has been my main strategy. For over 15 years I've been doing that, but I have bought some single lets too. And I know deals don't have to be multi-let, and they can be simpler. Simple deals and smaller CMO deals can be a good place to start in commercial. And I'm often asked this question, how much money do I need? I don't have any. How much do I need to get started with investing in commercial property? And it's funny, really, some potential investors stay away because of that myth. You need lots of money and a degree in the dark arts to be able to get into commercial. And others may class themselves in that group that maybe have access to a large amount of money. They never say they've got loads because we never have enough, do we? Perhaps they've got access to a pension pot, but maybe not so much knowledge. And it's funny, really, isn't it? Because some people feel they haven't got enough money so they can't get in and get started. And others have money, feel, well, money's not a problem, but I don't have any knowledge. And both of those situations can be fixed. But the point is, it's different really for everyone, isn't it? But if you're feeling new and nervous about how much money you need, or think the first purchase is going to be in the hundreds of thousands, then this episode might be for you. I'm going to talk about some brief things about lending, entry-level deals, starter deals, other strategies for investing when you have maybe perhaps not so much money, and raising finance if you don't really have any. And some people have what they call a scotoma to raising finance. They just don't think that's something they can do. Right then, how much money do I need to get started with commercial property investing? Well, difficult to answer as there's so many different options, of course, but I'm going to try and simplify it. And let's start by saying there's no way of getting away from the fact that actually money, a pot of money, does help you when starting out in any business, including the property business. But there's always a silver thing to these, isn't there? A lack of money can lead to really good resourcefulness and a real value of money. And I'm not criticising people who have lots of money or little money, but you just have to look at the other side of the coin. You've heard of phrases like marketing on a shoestring or building a business on a shoestring. A tight budget and control on expenditure is a really important habit and a necessity if you've got very little money. So there is a silver lining there. And if you do have quite a bit of money, you have to make sure that you are being sensible about how you're using it and try and treat it as though it's not yours. Because that way, you may find that you will actually be more resourceful and look for deals that maybe don't need as much commitment from you. But for those of us with less money, don't despair and throw in the towel before we even get started. There are lots of other options. For example, other people's money, as I say, can change everything. Whether that's loans or JV equity, that's joint venture equity. Personally, I don't do that. I haven't done any joint ventures where somebody else has got equity for putting in finance. But I have done joint ventures where I'm working with somebody else and there's equal parts of what we're doing. There are so many different ways of doing it. But loans is the main one that I take for our new developments. But I've observed property investors who have borrowed all of the money for a deal from private funds and spent a small sum of their own on the light refurb. And then at some point down the track, they've managed to refinance to pay off those private investors. But the key point I'm trying to make there is that by looking at using other people's money, people that maybe are struggling with a very low interest rate in the banks, they've maybe come into some money for some reason or another, they've sold a business and they need to put it to work. And you are looking out for opportunities and maybe you can team up with them. And as I say, I've observed some people who've taken private investment on and they have done that as a loan and they've managed to fund the redevelopment themselves. It has to be a light refurb, not a full-on refurb, of course. And then that's allowed them eventually to pay off the private investor and to carry on now with an asset. But let's quickly talk about lending for a minute. So lending in general in the commercial property world can be as low as 50%. So the loan to value, 50%. You have heard me say before, the key things they're looking for is your experience or your knowledge. They're looking for the loan to value, which is the one we just talked about there, the 50%. And they're also looking at serviceability. How well can you service the debt on this property or this enterprise that you're looking at doing? That might not be from the enterprise itself. It might be from another asset you have. But either way, they're looking at serviceability. Occasionally, that loan to value could go up to 75%, maybe even 80%. In certain circumstances and with certain types of lenders. You're really now talking about second tier lenders where there will definitely be higher interest rates, but you know, it's a quid pro quo there. And if you're starting out, then it's going to be at the lower end of the scale on the LTV, unless perhaps you've got an existing business. Maybe you could leverage your existing business for the purchase. You basically buy a building for your business that's oversized, and then start letting out some of that space. And then maybe you let out your own space and move on to another one. I've seen that done a few times. Some complications around what entity owns the property and tax and things, but it can be done. And if a deal stacks up, even if you are looking at second tier lending where there's higher interest rates, well, then a deal stacks up. It can be difficult when you're used to, particularly with your own home, an interest rate or some buy-to-let mortgages that are really low, very low, 2%, maybe even less sometimes for that initial period. And then looking at a loan where you may be talking about 6 or 7%, it's like, I'm not paying that kind of money, it's ridiculous. If a deal stacks, then a deal stacks. What if you really have very little then? Well, let's turn to a well-known residential strategy. So this is talking a little about some of the different things you could do if you do have a little bit less money. We've spoken about raising private finance. Maybe you could do the rent-to-rent model, which is fairly well known in residential. It's not always looked upon in the best light, but it has its purpose. I have done some deals where I've rented space and I've sublet it to someone else. We need to make sure there's the legals in place to do that and that the terminations tie up so that you don't get caught out at any single point. But it is possible. And another example, which some of you may have already thought about, is in the container business. Because you don't need to go and buy 100 containers, a site, an acre site, do all the transport, organising the, as in, you know, the road layout and everything else, the fencing and everything, which could be into hundreds of thousands. You could actually lease a property. But you find one that's already got good hard standing and good entrance, so you don't have to pay for that. Then you might lease purchase the containers. So you're basically paying them off monthly. In fact, what's happening is your clients are paying them off monthly. And you don't buy them all at once and put them all in there. You buy them as and when, or take on the lease purchase, as and when you've got new customers moving in. And that might only cost you 10, 15,000 for fencing and some tech, or you might even need less if the fencing's already in place. So that is a strategy where it is effectively rent to rent. It's maybe not quite how you might have pictured it, but it's possible in that business to be able to get in there with reasonably little capital outlay. And certain projects won't work, though, of course, if you're looking at renting a property rather than a container example there, and you need to do a lot of fit out. Because if you think about it, Regus, WeWork, these guys, a lot of them do rent to rent, or they do management agreements where they're not putting out the capital outlay. And what they will try and do is get the landlord to do all the fit out and do all the CapEx, which is the capital outlay or the building, the structures and stuff. And if they do any kind of investing, it's in maybe the furniture, fittings and that sort of thing. And the smaller you are, of course, the less leverage you've got with a landlord, the more you're going to have to pay for the fit out. So there'll be certain projects where that cost of fit out is beyond you. That's fine. Look for ones where you have already some structure in there that you don't then need to alter too much. Or go and find the client first and then find the space or fill the space. So you're basically looking for customer needs first. Once you find some customer needs, then go out and find the space. And it might be that you do rent to rent rather than purchase for that to work. Try taking an option, by the way. That is another way of adding value. So you might find a unit, you've maybe got an inkling of some demand. You find a unit that's going to satisfy that demand. You take an option on it, which is an agreement with the current owner to take control of it effectively. And you, there's an option fee. It might be £1, it might be 5,000, it might be 10. It just depends. But the option is basically to give you control, to allow you to then try and find a tenant, do whatever you're going to do. Because, and why would a landlord do that? Well, it might be because they've tried letting out normally and they can't. It might be that actually this thing's just a pain. They might be an accidental landlord. There are lots of different reasons. Not everybody's in the same boat. So if you can find a property that you can take an option on, which gives you control to be able to try and get a new client, fill it, or indeed even potentially just change the use if you can, and then trade or flip on the option. You don't even need to exercise the option and pay for it. Gosh, I hope that's come out right. But anyway, the point is, there are other ways there of securing a property without necessarily paying out the money, doing the adding of value and flipping it on. And that could cost you less than 10 grand. So I appreciate that's still money, but it's not maybe the £500,000 you thought you might need for a commercial property. So talking about starter prices, £500,000, let's get into that just for a second. So since I've started helping out other investors, many that I've worked with have bought at prices below 100,000 sterling in the UK. I myself have bought at 70. That was kind of the lowest I bought at. But it wasn't a very exciting project, I have to say. Maybe another podcast about that sometime. It can depend on your investment area. But if you're looking for more passive investments, then you can look further afield, can't you? So if it's going to be something that is going to have a tenant on a lease or an FRI lease for long term, then you can start looking further afield. You've still got to get under the skin of that market, though, to really understand what's going on. And it does depend if you're buying. Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across, and believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business? Follow the partner link in the show notes. Buying investment stock, or if you're buying stuff that's vacant and looking to add value. But the point is, starter price can definitely be below £100,000. And there are many, many, many areas in the UK and across the world where actually you can't buy a blooming house for that kind of price because prices have gone up. So sometimes entry level to commercial can be less really than residential. I think people forget about that. And it doesn't have to be a shop, by the way. That's not the standard operating procedure, go and buy a shop. I've done that. It's not that exciting. A key learning here, though, is if you are starting out, start out small. Make less costly mistakes. And then roll those lessons that you learn and that experience over into the next deal, into a larger deal. And then, if you want to, a yet larger deal. This is a journey, this process. You don't jump in a car and start in fourth gear. You need to work your way up. And think back to your first residential deal. Was it your biggest or best performing you ever bought? For those of you that are in residential right now, yes, it might be cash flowing, but the other less tangible benefit of doing that first deal was getting started. Getting over that inertia, it's a stepping stone, it's a foothold. And even though it might not be cash flowing brilliantly, by doing it, it's led to all the other things that you're doing in residential. And it's the same in commercial. Let's treat the first commercial deal the same way. It's a stepping stone. It's a way of getting in. That's not to say just go and buy anything, of course, but just go in with the mindset that I'm going to learn as much as I can through this process. I'm going to trim the risk, and I'm going to try and make it so that I can make this first deal work and get over the line. So go for something that's maybe just a little bit less risky, really. Something a bit more vanilla to get the process going. Now, if you're on the other side of this and you're in a more, shall we say, liquid state, and I'm not talking about lubricated on a Friday night, liquid, you've got lots of access to lots of money, then you can afford to look at deals at your own level of comfort, really. And some people have good levels of pension, maybe a SaaS, or a successful career, or they've sold a business, or they've still got a business, it's throwing off lots of cash. And now you want to get that money to work for you. Well, obviously commercial can be a great place for that because there's some really good income producing assets you can pick up out there. But as I say, it can be a challenge because you now need to go and get the knowledge. And if you're starting with that higher pot, it doesn't mean you can't start with a smaller property. You don't have to immediately go in with your £500,000 or whatever you've got and start to that level. Start smaller. You need to dream big, but you got to start small. So a quick summary for us that are maybe less fortunate in the financial stakes. You don't need loads of money. Work with what you have and choose a strategy that gets you started, that suits your circumstances. So you need to take some time to think that through. Is it things like rent to rent? Is it going and getting private finance? Is it looking at options? Is it doing container storage? What type of deal is going to suit you? Don't worry about what ones won't, what ones will. But in terms of the actual deal size, deals can be well under £100,000, particularly if you're looking further afield for passive, as I say, but you will pay for that with a lower yield. And if we go back to the lending criteria, it may be that you might need 50%. You might need 75%. It depends. You need to try and find a finance broker that's going to introduce you to the second tier as well. The other option for us that are less fortunate, of course, is raising private money. Go out and see if you can raise some private money. Now, what comes first, the deal or the money? I think you need to be working on both concurrently. And then hopefully when you found the deal, you've already got some traction in raising money. The next one was the rent to rent. Focus perhaps on finding a customer first or a need first, and then maybe you can find the property and rather than buying it, maybe you rent it and then you sublet it. As I say, you'll need to talk to a lawyer about that. Getting all the right structures in place is definitely possible. You really need to start small anyway, use it as a stepping stone and try to work with options. So don't need loads of money. Terms of deal size, it could be under 100 grand. Look at raising private money, maybe rent to rent, start small anyway, and try to work with options. And one more thing, try your very best to part the ego. We're on a long-term mission here to make a serious difference, a serious dent in your finances. Get the building blocks in place and impress later. Emotions or trying to impress, those kind of motives can really hamper your portfolio growth. And we all have egos, me too. But it can be paralyzing. And I've seen some investors who are pretty successful in residential. They have an absolute fear of failure in commercial. Or of finding, they want to find the perfect project or no project. And examples of that would have been working with some people who were fixated on getting a large warehouse, successful in residential, but they just wanted to get this big deal. Well, your first commercial doesn't have to be a big deal. It's not all or nothing. Okay? And that actually paralyzed them. And do you know what? Years later, I think they maybe still haven't got any commercial property. Finding that perfect deal is another one, and it's that kind of paralysis by analysis / I don't want to get it wrong or show myself up. It's that fear of getting it wrong, that fear of exposing themselves as maybe not knowing as much as they appear to know about property investing, so they don't do a deal. Just do something small. You don't have to go out there and buy a massive beautiful building. You can go out and buy a small ugly one. They still work. So anyway, I'm a little rant there, but try and make sure you part the ego when you're looking at commercial property, particularly when you're starting out and you've got some success elsewhere. You may feel you're on a pedestal. Try and ignore that and just do that first deal. Right, so thank you for tuning in. I've got one quick ask at the end of this podcast. If you've been enjoying this episode or the others and finding value, right, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. It really helps. I've seen our download spike. I've seen our reach improve when we've had a number of reviews. And I would really appreciate it if you could spend just a few minutes, because I spend a few minutes on putting these out. So if you could just spend a couple of minutes putting out a review, I would really appreciate it. Thank you. So enjoy your week. Make sure you get at least one thing done in your commercial journey, right? Try and get at least one thing done. Go and speak to an agent. set some goals, do that thinking I was talking about earlier on about the smaller projects and the strategies you can use right now with the cash that you have access to, and enjoy yourself out there in the swim. Speak to you next time. Hi there. I hope you're enjoying the content delivered on the CPI podcast. Even though it's free to listen to, it actually takes quite a bit of time and financial commitment to deliver each and every episode. Did you know that by leaving a positive written review, you, yes, you, will have a direct impact on the visibility of the podcast? And that's really important, because by reaching a wider audience, it helps our team to continually improve the overall content that we deliver to you week after week. For some of you, leaving a review will be second nature, but for others, it might be a first one. Open your podcast app, pick the CPI podcast and search for previous reviews. And on iTunes in particular, click to look at all of the reviews, and then you'll see an option to leave a written review. Go on, it'll only take 2 minutes and it'll really make our day. And we genuinely read every single one of them.